This morning, our scripture lesson is taken from, again, the second chapter of Luke. We've been in Luke's gospel on Christmas Eve, and to me, it seems only fitting that for at least this Sunday, this still a Sunday in Christmas, I have neighbors where we live all around who've, some neighbors who've thrown out their tree, and you may have done that by now. Christmas is over for a lot of people. You turn on the radio, nobody's playing Christmas music anymore. In the church, we remember that we're on, is today the sixth day in Christmas or the fifth? I forget. Fifth day in Christmas. And so we have 12 days of Christmas, so we recognize a season that begins on Christmas Day. And sometimes it seems like I'm one of the only people in the world doing that one. But I'm impressed that you knew what day this was. So thank you for sharing that. And the remarks that I have that will seek to not interpret this scripture this morning, what I have to say is not seeking to look into the scripture and interpret per se the scripture, but it uses this story and the spirit of this story to help us wonder how it is that we are growing up in Jesus Christ. And so let us hear the word of God from Luke chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 21. Hear the word of the Lord. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So Mary and Joseph made another journey, probably with a donkey, from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, quote, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, unquote. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. And guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow, to the age of 84, she never left the temple but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. And at that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And isn't there one more? That's right. Jen got this right. I want to add one verse. The child grew, at verse 40, the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. This morning, I want to share with you something of what I've presented to you on the back of this bulletin. I want to speak about 10 ways we empower our church to be alive in Christ. I think it's important that this is said at some time in the life of the church. I recognize that all of us, including the Rose family, we're all a work in progress. But somewhere at some time, it's useful for someone to stand up and say, these are ways that we may remain alive spiritually and may encourage the church to be alive. Now that comes from the fact that Jesus' parents reared him in a tradition of worship that framed his life. And they saw the value of following those traditions and putting baby Jesus near people like Simeon and Anna and others. And the experience in worship, just as JB and Evan were having here, their experience in the life of faith of this congregation has taught them something that is impressive. These two young men could stand here and tell about the meaning of the cross. I couldn't have done that when I was their age. And yet, here they are among us. And so the Spirit is at work in the life of this church, doing for them what the customs of the faith were doing for Jesus. Jesus' experience that was given to him by his parents gave him a life that taught him he had a purpose in life. And so worship traditions matter for all who believe. Let me say that at the outset. Gaining wisdom about life and ourselves is valid and vital for everyone. That's the second point I want to make. And the third, knowing our own purpose and using our gifts is critical to our experience of abundant life for ourselves individually and for our church and for our world. And so let me begin to address 10 ways we may become new people and empower Meadow Lake Church to be more alive in Christ. And you're welcome to turn this bulletin over and follow. This is a meditation this morning. This is not a lecture or a sermon, but I just want to share, moving out of this scripture in Luke 2, things that we do that I believe help us to mature as Jesus matured as a child. Jesus grew up caring about worship. And I want to say, in the first instance, we are all encouraged to come to worship regularly. Worship is not mandatory. In the Presbyterian church, in the Protestant faith, worship is not required as it is in some denominations. And yet, neither is saying thank you. But you and I know people who don't say thank you. They seem to possess a spirit that is arrogant and sour. And we need less of that and more of people who are grateful and thankful and positive in this world. In a similar fashion, coming to worship regularly impacts your life and the life of every one of us. It gives us the opportunity to look up, just as we look up at this screen, and praise God. Coming to worship every Sunday morning gives us the opportunity to realize that even though we've fallen short of the glory of God, God loves us anyway, and God forgives our sin and puts us in a new and right place. It gives us the occasion to hear the singing and the sharing of words and truths that can impact us and make a difference in our lives. I guess I'm aware that the people I know in this world that come to church regularly have somehow had a real experience of God's grace, and they know that they need to be there to give thanks to God. So in the first instance, Jesus grew up caring about worship. You and I are encouraged to come to worship regularly. In the second instance, Jesus grew up caring about worship. Sing out loud with every song in our service. Doesn't matter if we sound like bullfrogs or not. You may be living like a bullfrog, but if you come to worship, let us not just be spectators. Now, you're going to tell me, you don't like my voice. Well, let me tell you about someone I know that I often use as an example. Caroline knows Ed Blake. was an elder at Shelby Presbyterian Church. Ed Blake was a football coach at Shelby High for many years, in charge of transportation of the buses during the day. So his day job was taking care of kids getting to school in buses. And he was an assistant football coach of a really good football team. Ed Blake used to tell a group of us, of elders, that he grew up in a little Baptist church in Burgaw, down in eastern North Carolina. And no one in that church had nice voices, but they sang to the top of their lungs the faith in their singing. And he said, in that little church, there was kind of a whine. When they all sang together, it was kind of, and they were never really on key. But he said, the singing of that church impacted me. That makes me want to be here and be an elder and be involved in the life of this church. When you and I refuse to sing the words of songs that our choir is leading us in, we become spectators in worship. When we say, I don't do that sort of thing, we are simply refusing to add our faith to the faith of others. And Presbyterians seem to be worse at this than almost anyone else. Folks, we need to stand up and sing to the glory of God. And in the future, I was almost going to do it today, but in the future, I'm going to stop Verna and say, come on, folks, we're not singing out. Because I've said this, I'm giving you a warning. Jesus grew up caring about worship, so sing out loud with every song in our service. Number three, Jesus grew up caring about worship. So let us take seriously this occasion in every service we have to respond to the gospel of Jesus, to the presence of Jesus' love and care and grace. And we do that by considering how it is we may give of ourselves. We do that by considering how we give money. This morning in a special offering to Mike Slaughter, but also in a regular way in giving to the glory of God, to the life of this church. And so consider reflecting on what you and I give financially to the church, because giving matters, our participation matters, our presence matters. Take seriously the time of offering. It's important. Number four, Jesus cared about truth and ideas, and Meadow Lake Church has taken seriously small groups. I learned that from the search team that called me here. And I think it is a wonderful way for this congregation to grow in friendship and grow in faith. And I also think it's a critical opportunity for learning and growing. And you've done that in the past. And please, if you are part of a small group, whether it's the choir or the Presbyterian women or some other group, and you are not studying or reading or learning something, get that group back into learning something. Truth and ideas matter. And it's important that our small groups are vital and alive, reading or studying something together. That's the benefit of small groups. In this church service, now if you want to raise your hand and challenge me anytime, you're welcome to do that. We're small enough as a congregation, you can do that. But particularly in small groups, you can do what Jeff Parker does all the time and says, stop right there, I want to ask a question. That's one of the best things anybody can do ever in a small group. That's why we have small groups, to interact and to ask questions. And I'm grateful for him that he does that on a regular basis. I am. Jesus cared about truth and ideas, number six. Tell someone what you're learning. Use your own insight somehow for your own good, but make sure that you share with someone else what you've been given. This is not to be bragging or arrogant, but people who share what they are learning with someone else, with a child or a partner or another friend, then somehow you and I cement that reality in our lives and we expand the blessing to someone else. And so Jesus cared about truth and ideas. Share what you're learning with someone else. Number seven, Jesus understood he was created to bless people. If you don't know this passage, let me tell it to you. The writer of the Ephesian letter, don't think it was Paul, although Paul's name is attached to it. But the writer of the Ephesian letter says in chapter 2, "For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Get involved with a particular ministry or team in this church that takes you outside these walls so that you may be a blessing to others. You and I have heard the phrase, and I'll repeat it here. We have been blessed to be a blessing to others. Jesus was. He grew up with that understanding that his life was meant to be involved in ministry. And so is every person in this room in some way. We are to be invested in making a difference in the lives of others. Too many in this congregation and in others sometimes are tempted to be idle. And we've been idle so long everywhere that affects everything we do. And when we're out beyond these walls making some kind of difference, we come back and it affects this church in powerful ways. So the word is get involved with a particular ministry. But let's keep on with that. Number 8, Jesus understood he was created to bless people. And he did that with his particular gifts. And as I've said recently, I think Jesus was a religious genius. He was empowered with more gifts than I think anybody had. But the point is for you and me to know our spiritual gifts and to use them in service to someone. You and I were created with unique interests and abilities, and we should offer those interests and abilities to God and let God bless those for the building up of the church's ministry. We've put on the wall out there in the atrium the pictures of many of you in here with you're holding a sign that says what you think your spiritual gifts are. And some of you probably think that's a little foolish because you've not been willing to do that. That's okay. I don't care if you think that's foolish. What I'm grateful for is that there are people who have identified that they have particular spiritual gifts. And it is my hope that one day soon our session will be standing in front of that wall with several ideas of ministries and we'll be connecting people in ministries. Finally, number 9, Jesus understood he was created to bless people. Be aware of God at work in your worship, learning, and service. You and I are not here to stand on the balcony. We were created to be out on the road. And there are way too many people who are worshiping God in churches today, and they're living their Christian life on the balcony. We're not meant to be on the balcony, folks. We're meant to be out there on the road as disciples of Jesus Christ. When we invest ourselves in reaching out to others, when we seek to be a blessing for others, we should be aware of God's presence in the action. Someone has said that the most important Christian education we have is when we're ministering to others. Small groups are fantastic and Bible studies are marvelous, but the real education comes when we're going out there moved by the love of Jesus Christ. Finally, number 10, Jesus grew up to maturity. And this morning we heard just a little section of that. And then read verse 40 that suggested as a child he grew up in wisdom and stature and in understanding. And so let Jesus help you and me do something different today. Do something different today. Do something you've never done. It keeps you and me and the rest of us fresh and alive in Christ, and that is the truth. I read somewhere recently, and let me see if I can get this quote right, that a disciple is a person who understands that they are no longer a recipient of the church's ministry. Now they're responsible for the church's ministry. Did you hear what I'm saying? A disciple is someone who understands that she or he is no longer a recipient of the church's ministry, but now is responsible for the church's ministry. I hope that you're growing up in Christ to be a disciple so that you are responsible for the ministry of Meadow Lake Presbyterian Church. What we're doing now with Room at the Inn and a number of other things are examples of ways we are reaching out beyond these walls, and I think that is marvelous. None of us may be doing all 10 of these. I hope our elders and leaders are doing a majority of these. But today I offer this to you, to look at one or two of these perhaps that are maybe new to you, particularly the singing. We can improve on our singing, folks. Elevate your volume. And if you're not one of those people that say, no, I sing like a bullfrog. Last night I listened to a section. I was listening to Saturday Night Live, and I was listening to Cookie Monster sing. You know the Sesame Street Cookie Monster? And he was singing like that, and his singing was wonderful. He has a terrible voice, but he is delightful to hear when he sings. Now, you may sing like Cookie Monster. No matter. You and I praise God when we sing. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you this day for the privilege of worshiping you in the presence of a chrismon tree full of light and symbols. Like the cross that JB brought today, a cross that reminds us that you have died for us and that, more importantly, you love us. We give you thanks that here in the season of Christmas, we remember the child Jesus was involved in a set of traditions that taught him truth and gave him ideas and allowed him to learn and grow into being the human being that he was. To your delight. This day, Lord, help us all grow up in Jesus Christ in ways that delight you and serve your cause in the life of this church. We ask that just now in Jesus' name. Amen.